The message you're about to listen to is from the altar of Impact House International Church. Stay blessed as you listen.
Hallelujah. I want to appreciate God for today being the last Wisdom in Partition service this year. I want to appreciate Him for how God has been moving with us, for how God has been blessing us, and the privilege to stand before the presence of God tonight. And I want to appreciate our Father in the Lord, our pastors, our beloved Father, mentor, and coach, and our boss. Please join me as I appreciate our Father in the Lord, Pastor Bill Kiforiji. Thank you very much, sir. The Lord bless you. Please appreciate our mama also for being a good support and for her sacrifice. I appreciate everyone. I appreciate pastors in the house and everybody. You are all appreciated. I pray that your labor of love shall be rewarded in the name of Jesus. You know, this ministry, we are so blessed for the kind of leadership that God has given us. I can say this boldly because a father in the Lord, somebody that listens to God. And we want to appreciate you, sir, for your sacrifice. Not once, not twice, not 10 times, not 20 times, I've seen him pray. And most of his prayer is centered on us, praying for us, our breakthroughs, our blessings, and our growth in the spirit. Many times in fasting. Many times, day and night. I heard him pray in the morning, pray in the afternoon, pray in the night, even in the middle of the night. Sir, we pray that God will continue to strengthen you in the name of Jesus. You are a real gift to us and we appreciate you. We pray that God will continue to bless you and strengthen you in the mighty name of Jesus. See, the reason why I appreciate our Father so much is because he hears God. And as the year is about to end, God gave him the series for this month in our Wisdom Impartation service, and which is God's Presence. I'm so happy because as we are about to cross to a new year, God is revealing to us what will make success out of us. What can make success so cheap for us? God wants us to soar in the year 2018. Then he's telling you, if you want to soar, my presence is very, very, very important. And we've been hearing, you know, a lot of messages coming from this exalted altar, from anointed men and women of God, telling us the importance of this presence of God. We know that this presence of God is the one that commands blessings for us. It opens doors for us. It makes our breakthrough easier. It makes favor to be attracted to us. This presence makes breakthrough and blessing easy. It shuts the mouth of lions. We can't do without the presence of God. Shout hallelujah. Mama said a lot about this presence of God during his administration, and we are blessed. Praise the Lord. I want to encourage you that please, if there's anything you want to jealously guide, let it be the presence of God. And I pray that we will not lose his presence in the name of Jesus. Tonight we continue, and the topic is overcoming hindrances to divine presence. Overcoming hindrances to divine presence. Somebody may be asking, can we hide the presence of God? Emphatically, yes. The presence of God is real, it's tangible, it is seeable, but it can be hidden. Things that can hinder that presence of God is what we want to expose to us tonight, so that we avoid those things. If you want to prosper, if you want to excel, if you want to continue to enjoy God's grace, then we must guide His presence, know what hinder His presence, and do away with those things. God's presence is very vital. I tell you, Christianity without God's presence is another form of religion. Because what makes the difference is the presence of God. And even the demon recognizes God's presence. Remember when Peter were preaching and John, they got to a man who was possessed by the devil. And when he called him by his name, I said, I know you. And other people who has not, they don't carry the presence of God, they don't have the power of God, they don't have the anointing of God, they try to imitate what Paul and John, Peter and John were doing. And he accused them. He said, who are you? He said, I know John, I know Peter, who are you? So that tells you that even the devil can recognize who carries the presence of God. And if it is recognizable, then there are some things that can hinder it. It is God's desires to tabernacle in us, to abide with us, to dwell with us every day of our lives. You remember in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve, they enjoying God's presence. In Genesis chapter 3, in Genesis chapter 2, the Bible tell us that God always come down to dwell with them. He will commune with them. They will share. They will talk. No, they enjoy his presence. So they lack nothing. They were untouchable by the wicked animals in the field, in the garden. No devil can harass them, because even a devil have respect for them until they lose his presence. And in chapter 3, the Bible said that God cast them out of his presence. And that garden means the presence of God. Since that time, men have been struggling with his presence. And God made another alternative. He began to choose for himself people that he can speak to, people that he can, you know, talk to. And he chose priests. Every time you read your Bible in the Old Testament and you see the Spirit of God is upon me, or the hand of God is upon me, what that place is mean is that the presence of God is working in my life, or the Spirit of God is working in my life. At that time, they cannot retain the Spirit of God. And that is why a man called Samson can do wonders, even though he lived a reckless life. But you will remember that every time he performed miracle, before he performed that miracle, you will read that the hand of God was upon him, or the Spirit of God was upon him. And with that presence, he can do miracles. And God now makes another alternative. He now makes a permanent solution. Say, everybody, I want to democratize my presence. I want everybody to have access to me. I want to live in everybody. Then he sent his son Jesus Christ, and that is why we call his name Emmanuel. And that word Emmanuel means God is with us. Then he sent his Holy Spirit to us to dwell in us, so that we can carry his presence everywhere we go. You see, just that every father loves to be with his children and to play with his children, God also wants to play with us. He wants to care for us. However, there's some things that hinder his presence. Every time God wants to tabernacle with you or to do something through you, if those things are there, God is restricted. What are those things? Hindrances to the divine presence. Number one is disrespect or lack of honor. Number one hindrances to divine presence is disrespect or lack of honor. If you desire the presence of God, we must honor him. Honoring God is very, very vital. Once you don't honor, you lose. But whatever you honor, you embrace, and he also embraces you. Our Father is a great God, and is the King of Kings. And we all know that in every community, the king is the man to be respected. And God is the King of Kings. Therefore, if God is the King of Kings, and we know him as King of Kings, then we must ascribe to him the honor due to his name. In 1 Samuel chapter 2, in verse 30b, he said, I will honor them that honor me. I will honor them. God set a law in motion. He set the law in motion. He said, wherefore the Lord God of Israel said, I said indeed that my house and the house of thy father shall walk before me forever. But now the Lord said, be it far from me, For them that will honor me, I will honor. And they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. God is speaking to a prophet here. He said, I decided to choose you as my prophet to carry me. Because you see, before that time, the presence of God is restricted to a particular location. But say, I chose you to be my representative, to be the one that I will speak to. But say, because you decided not to honor me with your family. God is jealous. He's very, very jealous. He's very, very, very jealous. You know, sometimes I wonder that Jesus is God. I used to think that if not that God had a special interest with Israel, Jesus would have born in Africa. It would have been better, I think, it would have been better if Jesus were born in Africa. You know what? In Africa, we have some set of honors that even the Western world, they like it. They like it. And I reading my Bible, I discover most of the people that honor Jesus, most of the people that honor Jesus, gave him the highest honor. Are from Africa. Praise the Lord. They are from Africa. Okay? God likes honor. I like a woman that everybody rejected. He ran to Jesus. He poured oil on him. And especially, this one is not. She used her hair to rub everything. She said, I can't. You know what? When she did that, Jesus said, leave her. This is what I like. There is no place in this world that will not mention her name. We are still talking about her today, even right now. Why? Because we honor. Did the woman honor Jesus? How are you honoring Jesus? How are you honoring God in your life? Not only God, there are some people you must honor in your life if you want to enjoy the presence of God. This is very, 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 very important. In Malachi chapter 1, if we read from verse 1, God began to tell the people of Israel how they make mistakes. And in verse 6, he began to tell them what they were doing wrong. In verse 6, he said, a son honored his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is my honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Seeth the Lord of hosts unto you, O priest, that despise my name. And ye say, wherein have you despised thy name? They mock the name of the Lord. They don't give God respect. And God was speaking, why are you dishonoring me? And because of that, God separated himself from them because they don't treat him the way he ought to be treated. Quickly, let's look at how to honor God. Number one, how to honor God. Hold God in high esteem. Hold God in high esteem. I will never forget this story in my life. I finished my secondary school, I was in Ibadan, so I was coming from one place to another. You know, I boarded a taxi from Sele, so I'm going to Adigbai. And when I entered that taxi, some people were making arguments. They were involved in all sorts of arguments, and I was just listening to them. And when we were about to stop to alert, a man was seated beside, and somebody just mentioned God, and the man, he became furious. Say, "Man, Daruko Emo, don't mention that name. What do you mean? You know, smarting, they will say God. Smarting, they will say God. Is it God that is protecting me? You know, he has rings all over his finger. Say, is it God? They will say God is protecting me. Where is God? And I was just looking at him, how foolish." The Bible says that the foolish man said in his heart that there is no God. And I was like, is there people like this in this world? I mean, it's not even Jesus. If it's a Jesus, I mean, you can understand that. But he said God, as if there is no God. I was just looking at him. Hey, I was wondering, there are some people, they have permanent disrespect for God. And that is why they call his name in vain. Even on something that is not true, they will call the name of God, Olongbo, Olongbo. Yes, God is hearing. But he told you, he said, don't mention my name in vain. Don't call my name in vain. We must honor God. We must hold him in high esteem. Anything you are doing, even you somebody offended you, and he used God, he used everything. I will not forgive you. I will not, even if you cannot forgive me, that name to humble you. That name, you know, one day I went somewhere. I determined to mess up because I went there with anger. Praise the Lord. So whatever it will take. And the moment I enter, knock the room like this. I mean, knock the office. Pa 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 pa. He said, come inside. And I enter. You know what? As I enter, my eyes go straight to his table. And I was looking at the Bible. The man was in the Bible. Was in the Bible. And oh, you are welcome. And I look at his Gideon Bible. That's it. For some minutes, I couldn't talk. I was like, because you see, if I just that Bible in his hand, just pour waters in my heart. And I couldn't. I was like, okay. So how do you want to do? How do you want us to do it? How do you want us to do it? Praise the Lord. Because you see, there are some things in your life that are very important. Please don't join people to mock men of God, whether they are real or they are fake. That is not your business. It is not your business. What do you want to find out? There is nothing. You want to find out. Let anybody that is carrying the name of God must be honored. Shout hallelujah. We must honor God with our body. Our body is very, you know, because God tabernacles in our body. And that is why you cannot mess up with your body. That is why you can't sell yourself out cheaply. Because God has decided to live in your body. The Bible says that you are the temple of God, where the Spirit of God lives. Where the Spirit of God lives. And you cannot accommodate the Spirit of God with the spirit of the enemy, I mean, with the devil. Because the two can, Jesus said that you can't serve two masters. It is impossible. He said, one will go for one. So if you want to carry God's presence, then we must jealously guide, hold God in high esteem. Number two, how can we honor God? Don't deny God at any time. Don't deny him. Don't deny him. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, verse 33, he said, if you deny me before men, say, I will deny you before my Father. If you want to honor God, you are in a place and you look at the environment that is not a Christian, no gathering here and there. And they ask, are you a Christian? No. Or you want to get a contract. Anyone that cannot give you anything based on your goal, you don't need it. They ask you to lie. They ask you to say, no, if you want to get that thing from that man, don't claim religion. No. Hey, don't you read about that? I mean, about David. Don't you read about Daniel? Don't you read about Joseph? Don't you see how they stand for God? They stand for God and they emerge great. Why? Because they decided to honor God with their life. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They says, we will not bow. We will not bow to your God. Because we know that God will deliver us. And even if he decided not to deliver us, we will rather die. We will rather die than live. And bow for your God. And you know what? In that, and the king carried out his judgment, threw them in the fires, and God rescued them. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. You know, that story is very, very loaded. I was just meditating and God spoke to me in that story. Most of the things that we struggle with. You know, God is a scientist. and he releases his knowledge to people that trust him. You know, how many people, how many has a microwave in a house, or you've come across microwave? Do you know how that microwave came to being? That microwave came to being through their story. That story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Somebody was like, meditating. How can somebody be thrown in fire and it's not burning? How? You know, the problem with us as a Christian is that we know all the miracles in the Bible, but we don't know the principle. And that is terrible. And we are carried away with the stories of the miracle. We don't know the principle. An unbeliever go after the principles and is making money from us that have the miracle and know the stories. That was one. How can somebody be thrown in fire? And he was doing all the science, you know, calculation and here and there. And that was where the concept of microwaves came to be. If you have something and you place it on your microwave, that thing will get hot. It will affect the container, but it will not touch the content. That is the law. If somebody was thrown into the fire and they came back, so the container was on point and the content was on point, it is the fire that has problem. And they use the principle to make money. Shout hallelujah. We need to understand. See, as a Christian, we are loaded. We are loaded. Our problem is that religious has blind, he has blindfolded our mind. We cannot think in line. We cannot see to the mind of God. And I pray that those religious brains be removed now in the name of Jesus. The next set of invention is coming from you in the name of Jesus. So we are talking about honor. Don't deny God. Don't deny God. Number three is that honor his servant. Honor his servant. The servant of God are people that dedicate their lives to God. They are the ones that sacrifice. They are the ones that giving their life and all that they have for God. All that they have given in hand for God. You heard it again, time without number, that pastor will say, we have signed out our life for God. Say, we have signed out our life for God. Say, we have signed out. In other words, there is no going back. And these people, see, like I said, many times, you know, we pray for us here. We pray as if all the blessings will just come bam, on us. The same way he's praying for us here on the altar is the same way he prays in the private. Why? Because he has dedicated his life. And if somebody is many times is fasting, not that he doesn't have food to eat or money to buy food, but because the assignment that God has come, we are the assignment. We are the one he's taking care of. Okay, these people, anybody that, in 2 Timothy, in 1 Timothy chapter 5, in verse 17, Bible makes it so clear that we should honor these people. Let the header that rule be counted worthy of double honor. Bible said that double, he didn't say honor alone, he said double honor, especially those who labor in word and in doctrine. Said they should be counted with double honor. People who are in God's service, including church staffs. Said they are. I was somewhere many years ago in Anambra. And we were doing a crusade. And after the crusade, I preached. They asked me to come and preach. You know, normally in that church, they give you time to preach for 10 minutes, max 15 minutes. So they told me to come and preach 10 minutes. So 10 minutes, okay? So after I preached, I finished preaching. The elders, they say, sir, you need to preach again. So after they ended, share grace, they waited. I said, I should conclude the message. So and I concluded the message. After I concluded the message, one of is an elderly man, he called me and he was talking to me and was weeping. He said, it's over 20 years I've heard this kind of message. And honestly, I don't preach any, it's as if I don't even know. I can't even, except I look at my notes, I can't even remember. There's nothing special. There is no, you understand what I'm saying? But he said, it's over 20 years. And I said, I decided not to come to church, but when I heard that youth are coming, that was why I came to church. It's over 2 years that I've been to church. And I said, sir, what happened? He said, I used to work in church. I gave my life to the service of God, and I work in church for close to 30 years. And I said, you know, he mentioned the name, and the great bishop, and he said, the way the church behaves to church staffs, he said, it is bad. And I was like, wow, what this man is saying is true. But my Bible tells me that people who labor in wars and in doctrine, it's not that they don't have certificate to go and work in secular world. Even people who have school certs, they are still doing great. They are still employed. There are some organizations that will employ them and they will pay. But there are some who say, I will not work anywhere but to work in the service of God. There are some people who are not collecting salaries. There are some people who are collecting salaries. There are some people who just want to serve God. There are some people, there is nothing they can do in this life. There is nothing they can do in this life that will satisfy them but to be in the service of God. And if somebody can sacrifice and give himself to God in the service, praying every day, fasting, ensuring that everything is in order, the Bible says they must be counted a double honor. Pastors must be honored. Leaders must be honored. Church staff must be honored. Anybody that is laboring in words and in doctrine, the Bible says that, see, this is as important as tithe and offering is. This is also important. Because it is the same word. And these are some of the things that is blocking many people's blessing. And this is the reason why it seems difficult for some people, because they are violating the law. I pray that grace to honor the men of God, the Lord will give us in the name of Jesus. I know that we've been doing it, but we can do it better. Shout hallelujah. The next one is that give him befitting offering according to his blessing on your life. A befitting offering. Malachi chapter 3 from verse 8 to 10, the Bible tells us that we must give to God everything. Say, will a man rob God? Yeah, you have robbed me. But he said, wherein have you robbed you? He said, in tithe and in offering. Next, ye are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this nation, a whole nation. Bible is cursing them for violating his law, for not giving. What you have is a portion of what you can get. It's just a portion of what you can get if you can give it to God. If we want to give to God, don't give to God offering that's not befitting. Don't give to God money that's been condemned. Don't give to God money that you can't give a Babriala. You don't. God is not in need. God is not. He doesn't lack anything. He said, "Silver and gold is mine." He said, "Even if I'm hungry, I won't tell you, because I can call fowl to come. If I want to eat chicken, I will just speak. The chicken will come. If I want to eat amala, I'll say, 'Hey, amala, be cooked.' And if you get to him, because he has everything. Everything is at his command. So I'm calling God. Tell us to bring things is because God wants something as a point of contact to bless us. And I pray that God will give us the grace even to give to him generously in the name of Jesus. Number two, what hinders the presence of God is disobedience. Disobedience. Disobedience is another major hindrance to the presence of God. Isaiah chapter 1 in verse 19, the Bible says that if ye be willing and obedient, say you will eat the fruit of the land, the good of the land. If you are willing and obedient, if you are willing and obedient, willingness to lead us to obedience, and lack of obedience in that God's presence, and make things to get off for his people. Our God is God of instructions. Your breakthrough is at the other side of instruction. The instructions you obey will determine the blessings that you receive. All of God's blessings is wrapped in the word called instruction. It's instruction, do this. Instruction, just do this. Do this. Why did God bless Abraham? Is it because he told him that he will bless him? Yes, of course he told him that he will bless him. But one day God called unto him, he said, you know what? Before, there are some levels, there are different kinds of blessing. There are different levels of blessing in life. If God spoke to you that he will bless you, and he bless you, please don't settle with that little blessing that you receive, because there is still greater one. God called Abraham. He said, I will bless you. I will make your name great. I will make you a blessing. All the nations of the earth will know you. And then that is chapter 2 of Genesis, chapter 12 of Genesis. And in chapter 13, we start hearing that Abraham became rich in gold and silver. So he can settle for less. He can say, wow, I'm blessed now. I don't need gold anymore. But one day, God called to him, because for him to move to the next level, there's an instruction to obey. And God called unto me and said, Abraham, take your child, your only child, is Isaac, and go and sacrifice him for me. And this man journeyed for 3 days. And when he did that, God spoke to me. He said, because you have done this, in blessing, I will bless you. That is, because you obey me, in blessing, I will bless you. Because you act on my instructions, in blessing, I will bless you. Because you, he was rich, but for him to get to another level of wealth, he has to, there is an instructions to obey. If he has disobeyed God, the man will have settled for less. God wants us to obey his instructions. This is very, very important. In Titus chapter 2, verse 16. Let's quickly open to Titus chapter 2, verse 16. Titus chapter 2, verse 16. Hallelujah. Titus chapter 2, verse 16. Oh, sorry, chapter 1, verse 16. Oh, chapter 2, verse 6. Sorry. Young men, likewise, exhort to be sober-minded in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good work in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is on the contrary path may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of thee. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own master, and to please them well in all things, not answering again. Shout hallelujah. In other words, you must obey instructions. We must obey instructions. What and who are we to obey? Very quickly, what are the things we are to obey and who are we to obey? Number one, we are to obey his word. And when we say his word, we talk about the Bible, the word of God. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8, the Bible makes us to understand that that book of the law is for us to have good success. Said, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. For in it thou shalt make thy way prosper, and then thou shalt have good success. Deuteronomy chapter 28 verse 1. If you obey the word of God, this blessing is going to come upon you. So that is, the blessings of God is attached to obeying the word of God. The blessings of God is attached to obeying his word. The word of God is important for us to maintain his presence. Without the word of God, don't forget that the word of God is the bank of his, I mean, of his instructions. All of God's instructions are documented in this book. And that is why the Bible says that every day you must look at it. Every day you must, Mama preached a sermon here, I will never forget, and he quoted Book of Proverbs, where the Bible said, I said, these words must not depart out of your eyes, not your mouth again, not your heart again, but now, or your eyes. You must see it every day. Every day. You must see it every day. Look at it every day. Why? Because if you are looking at it, you have a picture of what the word is saying. Then you can act accordingly. If we want to maintain the presence of God, we must obey His word. Number two, obey His instruction to you directly. There are some instructions that is peculiar to you. And there are some instructions that is for a family. When I say family, I mean church. God is saying, may say to us that this ministry, just as God has, you know, is helping us to fast the first 12 days of the year. This is instructions for His family. Then personally, God can speak to you that, hey, don't fast for 12 days. Fast for 20 days. This is for you. So you must, there are some instructions that they are peculiar to you. You must obey it if you want to enjoy the presence of God. Number three is that His servant's words of advice and counsel. When the servant of God counsels us, hey, this is my counsel for you, or this is my advice to you, or why don't you do it this way? Because you see, God speaks through people many times. God speaks through people and through His servants, His chosen servants, to us. At every given time, He speaks to them to speak to us, and we must be smart enough to obey whatever they tell us to do for our own advantage. I pray that God will help us to obey Him totally in the name of Jesus. Do you know why Saul missed it? Saul missed it because he disobeyed God. He missed the throne because he disobeyed God. God told him, utterly destroy Philistines. Destroy every living thing, destroy. But the man disobeyed. And when he disobeyed, Samuel told him, he said, if you have obeyed God, God will have established your kingdom forever. But you disobey Him, this kingdom has been taken away from Him. You will not lose your blessing in the name of Jesus. Number three, very quickly, is over familiarity with God. Over familiarity with God. We must never be too over familiar with God if we don't want to lose His presence. Over familiarity with God means that coming to church has become, you know, something, I mean, I see, normal thing now. We must go. To pray, as normal thing now. It has become routine. You don't see a special, you don't see something special in His presence. You don't see something worthy in His presence. Then, being familiar with God, you can act anyhow. You want to act anyhow. Is it not God? You will forgive me. If you forgive me, if I sin, I know how to ask for forgiveness. If you forgive me, you are over familiar with God. And that can be very dangerous. Signs of over familiarity with God. Number one, distraction during worship. When we are worshiping God, we are singing, we are praying, you are distracted. Looking around, or something caught your attention, or somebody was trying to dance and he stepped on your feet, and why are you matching me? Why are you matching on me like this? Can't you see? At that time, you are caught off yourself for the presence of God. Number two is playing or chatting during prayer section. We are praying, and you are praying, you know, chatting, or you are playing, or you are even mocking. Look at how this person is praying. Is it that bad? Look at how he's praying as if you are the only one carrying all the problem of this world. Well, when we are in the presence of God, we must be serious. We must be serious. Don't be over familiar with God. Don't be too familiar with God that His presence means nothing to us. Number three is late coming often without reason. Just coming to church late without any reason. We don't look at it. Oh, this time now, they will start praise and worship. It's the word that I need. Or it's the prayer that I need. Let them be singing. I will come and join them. Let them be singing. I will come and join them. Or what are they doing? Safe? Let pastor come on pulpit and let them preach. And let me be blessed. You see, these are some of the attitudes that are very, very wrong. Every time we go to church, some people, they are fond of chewing gum. They are chewing gum during prayers. As they are praying, oh Lord Jesus, they can even, you know, pam in the church. What's of it all? After they chewing gum, chewing, and they want to leave them, they remove it and they stitch it to the chair. Just stitch it there. Or they are eating a biscuit and they drop the nylon, or they drop one of it in church. You see, it's over familiarity with God. In the Old Testament, you can't do that. You can't do that. The next one, dressing casually to service. Dressing casually to service. We all know that God deserves our best. We are to dress to please God. We are to dress to, you know, at our best, not exposing our body, but every sensitive part of our body is covered, and we look presentable every time we come to the presence of God. We are not coming to church with three quarter. You are a worker in church. You are coming to church with three quarter, with bedroom slippers. This is not good. It's over familiarity. Then last but not the least is continuous sinful habit. Of course, when you sin, God will forgive you, but when you make it habitual, it becomes over familiarity with God. Moreover, when are you going to be free from that sin? When Bible says that sins are not have dominion over you, if you are making mistake in one aspect, you know that this thing is not good. Wisdom demands that instantly you stop it. Instantly. And you must not repeat it again. You did something terrible and you cry to God, "God, forgive me. I won't do this thing anymore." God answers your prayer. Yes, He answered your prayers. But you must be wise enough not to do the same thing. If you begin to do it again, then you become familiar with God. You are not different at all from Samson. If you want to enjoy God's presence every day of our life, number one, we must ensure that we honor Him at all times. Number two, we must ensure that we obey Him. And also, the last is that we must ensure that we are not over familiar with God. We don't take His presence for granted. We don't take His love for granted. We don't take His tolerance for granted. We don't take His patience for granted. We don't take His grace for granted. God said, "Don't take my grace for granted." I pray that God will help us never to lose His presence in the name of Jesus. Please write this down, a counsel, very quickly. Number one counsel, honor God always. Honor God always. Number two, try to obey Him always. Number three, honor His servants. Number four, study His word daily for insight on how to please Him. Study His word daily to get insight on how to please Him, on how to walk worthy before Him. I pray that God will help us even to honor Him at all times in the name of Jesus. His presence shall be very, very valuable to us, that we will guide this jealously in the name of Jesus. Please rise to your feet. Hallelujah. I'd like you to please rise to your feet. Hallelujah. Can you just thank God for the word of God you hear this evening? Let's open our mouth and just bless the name of the Lord. Say, "Lord, we thank you. We bless your holy name. Thank you for your word you sent for us. Father, we bless your holy name. Father, we magnify your holy name. Father, we give you all the glory. Thank you for your word. 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 In the name of Jesus, Lord, we worship you. Father, we magnify you. Father, we glorify you. You are worthy of our praise. You are worthy of our praise. You are worthy of our praise. In the name of the Lord Jesus, thank you, Father. Blessed be your holy name. Blessed be your holy name. For in Jesus' mighty name we are praying. In Jesus' mighty name we are praying." Amen. One of the worst things for a Christian is to lose the presence of God. That's the worst thing. If the presence of God is departed from a Christian, it's more or less like ordinary person. It's more or less like ordinary person. And that is why God is speaking to us to guide this precious gift of His presence. Because God is holy. God is holy. He wants us to guide. You see, God doesn't have pleasure in seeing us frustrated, in trouble. Is it not better? Praise the Lord. You see, many of us, God reacts to you the way you understand Him. The way you understand Him, that's how God will relate with you. Many of us, we only see God as our Savior. Many times we fall. When you fall, you cry to God, and God will come and save you. You fall, you cry to God. Next time you fall again, you cry. For example, now you want to climb this staircase, and you don't climb this case, you stand here, and you want to leap, you fall. But if you understand God, that you can move very well, God can take you to a proper route, that you can go without falling. The same thing happens in the realm of the spirit. There are many Christians who rise and fall. It ought not to be. Because if you understand God and you treasure the presence of God every day of your life, you are on top, because the path of the just is like a shining light that shines brighter and brighter all of the perfect day.
Wow! I know you must have been blessed by this message. Please feel free to worship with us at Impact House International Church, Praise Tabernacle, along Pipeline Road, Ilorin. For more inquiries, you can call 081-086-78878 or visit our website www.impacthouseinternationalchurch.org. I appreciate you.